There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the episode and the series. Hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. In fact, you get three sent to you a week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, just like this one. A great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can grab us anywhere you get podcasts from. That includes Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to give the series a rating, leave a review if you feel so inspired, because we've had some great guests on lately. Randy Blythe from Lamb of God was here, David Duchovny, Weird Al Yankovic, Samantha Morton, and Minnie Driver, both starring in The Serpent Queen on FX. We had the cast of Women in Blue from Apple TV+, Adam Duritz of The Counting Crows, Reggie Watts, Ryan Tedder of One Republic, Derek Whibley of Sum 41, Victoria Justice, and so many more. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with director Paul Feig about the new movie Jackpot. It stars John Cena and Awkwafina. It's out now on Prime. Here's the scoop. It's set in the near future where a grand lottery has been newly established in California with one catch: kill the winner before sundown to legally claim their multi-billion dollar jackpot. Paul's going to tell us about the quick shooting circumstances, finding his lane in action comedy. Of course, we've been seeing him do some stuff like this in Spy, in Ghostbusters, the 2016 Ghostbusters that he did. Of course, he's most famous for maybe Bridesmaids, and he created Freaks and Geeks as well. So hear about this kind of new lane action comedy. How far they can take these real-world possibilities without crossing the line. We also get to hear about John Cena singing Turtle Power, from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the movies that he does in this movie. And Machine Gun Kelly's many talents. MGK it's a little bit more than a cameo, I guess. A little bit more than a cameo. So we'll talk about his many talents. And Paul's going to tell us about the upcoming sequel to his movie, A Simple Favor, and why sequels are always a tempting option. All that and more as we dig into the movie Jackpot, out now on Prime. It's Kyle Meredith with Paul Feig.
Hey, Kyle. How are you doing, man?
Hey, man. Congrats on Jackpot. I was looking around at what you've been up to right now, and
You just get back from Italy for shooting one thing, go immediately into promotion for something you shot before that as you're getting ready to start on another project. Yes. That's in the news. How you doing?
I'm great. When I'm working, nobody's happier than myself. I love to work. You know, I tried my whole life to get to make movies, and there was one point where it didn't seem like they're going to let me make movies anymore. So I love to do it.
And that's all it takes, right? It's just that moment where you think, this could all go away.
Oh, yeah. If you've been in movie jail once, man, you do not want to go back.
Well, this is such a fun movie. This is one of those movies where I immediately, like if I were 15, 16, I probably would have watched it 3 or 4 times in one weekend, memorized all the lines. Now in my 40s, I have to go back and with a pencil and paper to remember.
Sucks getting older, right? You'll always be younger than me, my friend. Just remember that, Ryan.
What was I hearing about, though? You said this, like you guys did this in 40, the shoot itself was 40, a quick shoot? Is that right?
Yeah, very challenging. That was the hardest part about this movie is we really didn't have enough time, but we did it. We pulled it off. I mean, thank God for my great stunt team headed up by the great James Young, who does a lot of the Marvel stuff, but they were so organized and able to come in and help us out with the stuff that we couldn't get with the main unit and you know, get extra, our second unit stuff that we needed and just get some of the stunt gags that didn't require my cast. So we all pitched in and got it done, and I'm so happy with the final product.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've been through just about every scenario at this point, but when you've got such a, I don't know, high-octane movie like this, but in such a limited amount of time, like, how much does that affect the actual job for you? Do you get the rush out of it? Does it help at all?
Yeah, you know, I like what I call runaway freight trains. You know, I always look for projects that are, like, ready to get going, or if something we're developing, like, sell it and then, like, put it on a very tight schedule, at least to get it done. I mean, sometimes it's nice to have a little more breathing room when you're actually shooting the movie, but sure, there is an energy that comes from moving fast. And, you know, and I still, even though we're on a short schedule, I still do what's called French hours, some call the continuous hours, which is we only work 10-hour day with no lunch or anything. There's food being passed around, but we never stop. So the energy of that, I think you get more done than you do on a 16-hour day with a lunch and meal penalties and all that kind of thing, because you're in it, you're focused, you're doing it, and then by the time everybody's tired, you go home.
You're making the argument for the 4-hour or 4-day work week. That's what I'm hearing.
That's a little tight for my taste.
But it seems like you've really found this great footing in action comedy. I mean, you know, over the past few, of course, you're doing other things too, but you know, it's part of your greatest hits, I think, is what's happening here. Like, what is it about it that attracts, other than what I would say fighting seems like it lends itself to being funny anyway?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely that. I think physical comedy is great, but I also think action comedy is fun because there's so much else that you're hanging the comedy on. And the main thrust of it is not the comedy, it is the dramatic underpinning of the story, of the characters, of the character arcs, and then you just build the comedy up from there. But, you know, I always say that my movies are dramas that are funny because, you know, you have to have that dramatic core. You know, when you see movies that are just all comedy and all jokes, they're really fun. But, you know, there's a moment sometimes you look at your watch like, okay, I'm just kind of going joke to joke here. Well, I'm not invested in this. And what an action comedy does also, if it's not done silly, is that you are pulled along by your fear of these characters being hurt or being killed. That's why you can't have a funny villain. You can have a villain who has funny moments, but you can't have a silly villain. And so, you know, and that's why I love Simu Liu in this movie, is he's, you know, he's really intimidating, but he can land some really good jokes. I mean, his run about LaCroix is one of my favorite joke runs I've ever had in a movie.
And we'll be right back right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Paul Feig.
When you're saying that, of course, I'm going back in my head and you're completely right. I was even like, I've heard you talk about obviously Jackie Chan, I think, you know, was a big part of this, but even the Three Stooges. And earlier today, I was watching, what was it? It was Abbott and Costello meets Dr. Jekyll and Hyde.
I grew up watching those movies.
Yeah, I was just thinking there's so many different versions of like comedy duo, you know, and movie monster. Whatever. I'm pretty sure that's the correct combination of it.
Yeah.
But even the physical comedy that comes out of that, and thinking like they had that so perfect. You know, we're coming out nearly 100 years ago is what we're looking at, over 100 years ago for some of it, if you're looking at Chaplin. You know, and then you come into a movie like this, and maybe you don't have to reinvent the wheel, but you got to find what's, you know, fresh. I mean, how much is that a part of the equation?
It's a huge part of the equation. I mean, you know, you can't, people won't put up with like an old idea, or it's really hard to get people excited about that. Execution is definitely a big part of things. And as they, you know, say, there's only seven stories in the world, or however they break that down, really, and it's all variations off of that. But, you know, it's, you have to have a fresh idea in the middle of it. That's when I first read this script. I was like, this is great, because there's a really insanely high stakes core of this, which is you will get killed, you know, and then somebody who doesn't even know what's going on accidentally gets put in the situation where they are the target. Right there, you've got the audience is sitting forward like, oh my God, what's going to happen? So then I can just hang all this comedy on it. You know, comedy works the best when there's danger, you know, and if it's a romantic comedy, there's a danger of being sad, of having your life fall apart, of whatever. And in action comedy, it's about the danger you're going to get killed. And that just raises everything so much in a way that, you know, just a joke fest doesn't.
Hey, I love that it's set sort of close enough in the future with everything that's happening today that seems like that could be possible. Like, I don't think it's going to get there, obviously, suspension of belief, but that could be possible.
Right.
You know, but, because anything's possible at this point. Like, yeah. What was it, the Depression of 2026?
Oh, yeah.
I think is what we...
Great Depression of 2026, yeah.
Like, oh, man. I don't need that part right now, but...
I know, exactly. You got to go dark to get light, you know?
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. But, like, but it is one of those things. Like, how far can you take it without it getting too real, if that's...
Yeah.
If that's a,
well,
yeah.
To me, the big thing when I read this script that made me go, I have to do this, other than loving the whole concept, was the fact that Rob Yescom, who wrote it, put in that the only rule is that there's no guns. And I think if there's guns were allowed in this, it'd be a much different movie. And I think it'd be a less fun movie. I think it would be kind of an ugly movie. But that's what made me happy. It was like, okay, cool. So we're just down to primal, grab what you can and try to take somebody out. And then it levels the playing field too. Because, you know, if it was all guns, you go like, well, she's dead. And so if it's just a lot of people shooting and missing, then okay, well, that's, you know, we've all seen episodes of Cannon where with his little gun, he can shoot guys and nobody can seem to hit this big guy running around. You know, so that's the kind of thing that I think makes you buy into it and not be so worried about the person that you can't enjoy yourself. You know, and, you know, again, we're still a comedy, so you want to have the ability to people to have fun even though they're worried.
And without giving anything away, the other thing I really loved about the wrap up is, while there is a wrap up and there seems to be some lessons learned by people, as an overall, it's not like the world becomes a better place. Like these dipshits are still going to be dipshits.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like by the end of it.
Yeah, no, totally. You know, I mean, it's really about finding humanity in the middle of a sort of inhuman situation. And the thing I love about this concept, unlike The Purge, which nobody loves those movies more than me. I really think those movies are great. But in The Purge, everyone's in it. Nobody in society has an exit card. So it's terrifying. This, you voluntarily join up. So if you're somebody who is desperate enough or thinks you're enough of a badass to get in there and either win the lottery and fend off everybody from killing you, or you're going to get in there and take out whoever did it, whoever wins, that's your choice. And so I think that, to me, makes it a little less dark, because we're not saying all humanity sucks. We're just saying there's just a portion of humanity that's probably a little less moral than the rest of us.
And I believe that. I believe that. of course, John Cena and Awkwafina, I mean, they're perfect pairing. How did you land on them? I mean, was that the idea from the beginning? How does that process work?
Well, I was very lucky because when the script was sent to me, they were already attached. So talk about getting a great script, nice. A great idea, and two amazing cast members right out of the gate. But I have to say, if they weren't attached, I think I would have ended up casting both of them because they're just perfect for the role. You know, I mean, Nora is so funny, but she's so relatable, and she's, you know, such a surrogate for the audience. And the fact that she hasn't, even though she's been in action movies, she hasn't really done action. I had no interest in putting somebody in the lead of this who we've seen kick ass before, because what fun is that? You know, the fun of this is like, this is a normal person who's suddenly in way over their head, who has to learn how to fight on the fly. And then John, what I love about John is he's not coming in as this sort of toxic, masculine, you know, superhero. He's coming in as this sweet guy who just wants to do the right thing. And he just happens to be a big, gentle giant of a guy who's willing to fight, but he's also not willing to hurt anybody. He really wants to make sure he's just doing enough to keep them away from her. So it makes it, I want everything in my career to be good-natured, even if it can get super dark in the middle. It always needs to kind of have a positive message at the end.
You still want to put the helmet on the person before you throw them out of the
car.
Put
the helmet on the person. You're not a monster. Just get them out of the car.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Paul Feig.
Was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles song in the script?
Yeah, it was scripted in. Full disclosure, I'm not a Teenage Mutant Ninja, you know, knowledgeable person, but I just thought it was such a funny runner for him, and we added it in a few more times just because I felt it was a funny character thing for him. And so the fact that he's, you know, comparing himself to, you know, one of the, you know, he's not Donatello. He's
Michelangelo.
Michelangelo, yeah. Exactly. Thank you so much. So we had a lot of fun with it just because there's something funny to me about, you know, having been a loyal Comic-Con goer for 30 years and growing up as a sci-fi nerd, adults who are still into that stuff. I have a special place in my heart because I'm one of those people. And so I just thought it was really fun. I just think it's so fun that the idea of a big, giant guy like John Cena is obsessed with the Mutant Ninja Turtles.
So that's it. I come at it from the music nerd side of things.
With the partners
so
in crime.
Like even, yeah. Oh, so it's like even in that world, I'm like that's sort of a deeper cut even in the musical landscape of that world, the Ninja Turtles. So
yeah. We go deep. Like, we got some of our wrestlers are deep. My favorite weird thing that we have is that Nora's character in her audition chooses to do the Samuel Jackson monologue from Deep Blue Sea, which the audiences never laugh at it when the woman goes like, is that from Deep Blue Sea? And I think it's the funniest joke in the world. So I know there's some people out there that get it.
Yeah, and that'll mean the world to them. But, you know, it was that deep of a cut.
Exactly.
I love that. And you had Sean William Scott playing First Girl, you know, and the whole thing. And MGK, which I'm always surprised at how much I enjoy seeing him in film roles.
MGK is such a super talented guy who people want to sometimes put down. And I think he's the greatest. He is so smart and funny and so open. He, you know, we got a call from his people, like he's kind of interested in doing something like this. I was like, really? Because I was trying to think of who to put in that cameo. We had a few people we were thinking about. And, you know, but he also like, oh, it's a rock star. Is he going to say, he always want to do this and do that? He showed up. He was ready for anything. And you see the movie. We shoot the guy in the face. We drag him downstairs. We throw him in a pool. You know, like you got to have a good sense of humor to be put through that.
Yeah, did you see him in Cameron Crowe's Roadies? Like he was the heart of that show. And that's what caught me by surprise.
Oh, yeah. Oh no, I never saw that. I saw Good Morning, which I really think is really fun.
I mean, guy's multi-talented. Yeah. You hate them when they're that talented. You love them and you hate them.
There you go.
All that to say, Jackpot is so good. And just watching all the other stuff you're doing and your drinks, I wanted to say, is it fair to say that a martini is the greatest drink of all time?
Yeah, it's the only true statement in the world. There is nothing better than a good, cold, dry martini.
Would it destroy you if I said that lately I've been doing mine dirty with vodka?
I'm ending the interview now. I'm sorry. It's all over. That's okay. I'll let it go. At least you got the dirty in there, so at least you're tasting something. Because vodka doesn't have any taste. It's made to not have any flavor. So if you have a vodka martini, you're just basically having water that can get you drunk with a little bit of vermouth in it. So that's all I'm saying.
No, I get it. I'm based in Louisville, as Kentucky. So of course we're bourbon cup country, and you know the whole thing. Like you don't put the mixers, and I love bourbon.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's my thought is like, am I completely bastardizing this martini? And here I am.
With the
doing
dirt?
The thing that we're not supposed to do.
No, there's nothing wrong with the dirt. Just take the vodka out and put in the gin. Yeah. Then you'll be much happier. And put in Ardingstall's Brilliant London Dry Gin, because that's the best. Because that's mine.
I appreciate that. I'm gonna be doing it. Only left to say Simple Favor 2, I know, is the next big thing. And we're so excited to see that 6 years later. Like, did you maybe think that there was this, like, you, is this the first sequel you've done?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. First sequel. Nothing. I never wanted to do a sequel before, but I had an idea for this, and I love those characters. And it was just like, maybe we do have more to tell with them. And I'm so happy that we did it, because I'm in the middle of my director's cut, but we did our first test screening last week, and it scored really, really high. So it's a lot of fun. I'm really, really happy with it. It's as nuts as you think it should be.
It's really interesting when you have that opportunity. Like, I think I'm surprised in the folks who say I don't like to do sequels, that the story's done, as I am surprised in the people that would just be tempted all the time to continue those stories.
Yeah, you know,
for all their characters.
No, I mean, there's definitely a seduction about doing sequels and continuing a story, especially when you're in the middle of something. Because in your middle of it, you're so in love with your cast, and you're having such a good time, you're so creatively in that world that you're like, let's do the next one. But it's only once you kind of finish the whole process that either you're like, we got to do another one, or you're most of the time like, okay, I need to break from that, you know? And it's not that you didn't have a good time, it's just kind of, you know, you want to try new things, or I do, you know? So sometimes when I see people who are just doing, you know, who are in the big machine and doing them one after another, I know they're having a good time, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm glad I'm not doing that at the moment, just because it's really fun to create a new situation, you know, with new characters. It's fresh. It's like, you know, getting new friends. I don't know. It's really fun.
Then you wait about 10 years and you do it then.
Or 6 years, like I did with Simple Favor.
6 years. You know, something. What is Statute of Limitations? There's got to be something in there where it's like, okay, now it's cool. Now it's fine.
I know.
Now
you can do it. I guess we started the process about 3.5 years in, so not so bad.
I'll let you handle the math.
There you go. my head will explode.
Seriously, Bob, congratulations on Jackpot. It's such a fun movie. I'm so happy you got to be a part of this. And I'm always looking forward to what you do next. So
thanks
for taking the time.
My pleasure. Thanks so much. And more fun to come.
My thanks to Paul. Jackpot's out now on Prime. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. Again, you get a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 3 a week at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Again, please do give the series a rating and a review while you're at it. And then after that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. In fact, one of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Aretha Franklin, Ray Charles, Ray, Thompson Twins, Beach Boys, Fanny, Juliana Hatfield, Stereo Lab, Michael Franti and Spearhead, Lizzo, Duran Jones, Ray LaMontagne, Katy Pruitt, Liz Phair, The Clash, Childish Gambino, The Linda Lindas, Cage the Elephant, and my interview with actress Annabeth Gish. Getting just an example of what you can hear when you tune in weeknights, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. Please do like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.